Here we go. Hashu tafin shudan duhan nazem yisasurim likhanes lochatzer. Okay, partners. We have partners who made vows against one another. That each one said to the other person that I'm not, you now have anah. And they both own jointly a courtyard. Both of these two people, they jointly own a courtyard together. So the question is, can each one still walk in the courtyard? You have a courtyard. The courtyard opens up. There are two houses. One person has a house on one side, another on the other side, and they jointly share the courtyard. And now each one gets into a fight. Yeah. And each one vows not to derive pleasure from the other. Or each one says, you and I have pleasure from me, whatever the case is. And now each one wants to walk into the courtyard. The problem is the property is jointly owned. Right. So are you allowed, is one person allowed to walk into the property that's jointly owned by someone else? I own it.
L'chora not.
L'chora not.
Not l'chora, l'chora.
No, so let's assume now there is no bit. Let's assume now there is no bit. Just one general area. Until now in this Masechta, every single case in this Masechta is where it's private property. You may not derive pleasure from my property, or I may not derive pleasure from your property. This is the very first time we have a Hechatimsa, is we have a joint, yeah, it's owned jointly. We together share this piece of property. And we make a vow from each other. So do we say, Breira, basically, you see the little letters on this page? Oh, why don't we say the moment when I, since I own the property 50%, why can't I say the moment when I come into the courtyard and I step in the courtyard, I am stepping on for the moment that this is my property. And when
why aren't you able to say that I'm stepping on my property?
Because we own it together. That's the lumdus. Okay, this is
so
this.
What is pshat you own it together? Everybody owns 100%.
Oh, that's the dilemma. You're touching upon all the oisiris ketanis on the page. Look at these little, look, the whole page is flooded with letters. This daf, I think, in the whole shas, it's my favorite daf in shas because it has the most letters are on this daf in the whole shas. For sure.
The most letters.
Look how many text is on this page. Look how much text.
Okay,
look how many letters there are on this page. How many letters? Hashu tafim shenadu hanazem yizasurim. So it is categorically forbidden likanes lechotzer. Each one may not enter the courtyard. Who says this? The opinion of the chachamim.
Yeah.
Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov. I married Zen nichnas l'sech
shloim. You sure Rabbi Loza not Rabbi Eliezer?
I don't know. It's a Rabbi Eliezer. You're right. Rabbi Eliezer. Because
you know
the Tana.
Right.
The Tana always has the yud in the name. The Amoraim they did not. Not always. But in usually the Tanoim they had the yud. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I married Zen nichnas l'sech shloim. Zen nichnas l'sech shloim. They both go to the courtyard.
I thought that was the question.
No, so that the assumption. Okay, we'll read the Rashi and the Rana in a moment.
But it's
the
assumption
is it's a shuv. So therefore, we assume that when they're walking into the court, each one is walking upon his property. Let's see. Let's read the whole Mishnah. We'll learn the Ran. Ushneim asudim bad. Even though they're allowed to go walk into the courtyard, each one is allowed to go walk into the courtyard. But ushneim asudim lahamid rechaim vitanur ulegadel tarnugam. Although each one is allowed to trespass. Each one is allowed to enter into the property because we're going to learn. We're going to make an assumption that when they walk into the property, each one is stepping upon his own property, and we have to understand the lumnus, which we'll see in a few moments. But no, each partner is not allowed to position in the courtyard a mill. A rechaim is a mill. A tanner, an oven. The top of the page, the top of the
Mishnah.
They're forbidden. Even though, according to Elizabeth Yaakov, each one is allowed to go to the courtyard, no one is allowed to bring into the courtyard a mill, a rechayim, or a vitanur, an oven, or legadol tarnagol.
That's a rule, even if they're not. Even if they're not.
No, so it seems not. It seems that part of the partnership that you're allowed, if you're not mudahano zemizeh, you are part of the. There's a certain understanding that you're allowed to temporarily put into the. It's not permanent. To put into the courtyard a barbecue, a tan or a kiraim, you are. But over here, since in this instance they are mudah no zemizeh, then you're not allowed to put into the courtyard for one moment. We have to see the lumnus.
Okay.
You're asking questions, you have to see the teeth
of
the lumnus.
This is even according to Rabbi Lezba Yaakov.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, Ashneim Asum L'Ami Rechaim Etan L'Gadol Tanagol next. Now, let's say we have a different case. Now, the case until now we learned is where each one is mudah zemizeh. But let's say we have a situation where it's not zemizeh. It's only one is not allowed half enough from the other.
Yeah.
But one can. Hoye echad mehem mudahano mechaveroi. So the one that's mudahano lo yikones luchatzer. If one person have a courtyard, belongs to partners, and Reuven is not allowed to derive pleasure from Shimon, so Reuven may not enter into the courtyard. But Shimon can enter into the courtyard.
Yeah.
Is someone allowed to be say something's also that's not his?
What do you mean it's not his? Shimon says, I own 50% of this courtyard, correct?
But he can only ask her on the other person what was his.
Well, exactly. So now when
you can't answer on that person, what was the other person's?
That's right. That's right. Correct.
So that person's walking on his right.
No. So that's the, they own the entire court. That's the same. We think we have to see them on the same level as we said before. Let's see. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Yochel Hu Loimar Loy L'Soch Sheli Ani Nichnas No. Since I own 50%, we can say, he can say that the part that I work on is mine.
The same as what he said before.
Yes, yes, yes. We have to see the Gemara explain what the Chiddush is. Now, the Eini Nichnas L'Soch Shelcha, period. I'm working on my property. I'm not working on your property. The Koifenes Hanoide Limkor.
We said this is a continuation of relation to
Yaakov. Yes, yes. The Koifen, however, although that is the case, now it says the Koifen we force Es Hanoider, the one that made the neder, we force him Limkor. Now this is going back on who? This Lachar is going back on the Tanakama. The Tanakama that says that Reuven cannot walk into the courtyard. Because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he can walk in, so there's no need to force him to do anything. But according to the Chachamim, Reuven is not allowed to walk into the courtyard, so therefore it's not fair. I own 50% of the courtyard, and I cannot be nender from my property. So we force Shimon, the koifenes hanoide. So therefore, because it's not fair, we force Shimon to sell limkor eschelkoi, to sell to Reuven his portion.
No, hanoide means who made the nether. No,
the noide means right. Shimon is the one who made the nether.
No, I thought Reuven made the nether.
No, the case here is going
one way.
Shimon made the nether. Shimon said, right, Shimon said that you Reuven may not derive benefit from me.
Doesn't really make a difference who made the nether.
Fine, just to make the sake of simplicity, we have titles. Shimon, in our case, just to make it simple to understand, Shimon made a nether and said,
Reuven,
you may not derive benefit from me.
Okay,
so now Reuven is not allowed to enter into the courtyard because 50% of the courtyard is owned by Shimon.
Yeah.
So what's going to be the solution though? Forever, Reuven's never going to be allowed to go into the courtyard. That's not fair. Reuven owns 50% of the courtyard. So in order that we should find a solution to this problem, we tell Shimon, you better sell your portion of the courtyard to Reuven. You have to have a solution. You can't allow this to go on forever. You'll get the money. Good for you. You'll have put the money in the bank, and Shimon will be able to walk in the courtyard.
That's only a one way.
Right.
It's not a two way. Only
a
two one way.
We have to see. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. We'll have to see the old mafarshim in a few moments. But let's first see if
what's the difference between moider and noider?
The mudar is the victim, is the subject. The person that's not permitted to derive benefit. The noider is the one who makes the vow. Next, let's say there's a person, let's say, have a new case. We have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon, they're best friends. There's no machloikis between them. The best of friends. Everything is shalom al yitzhah. However, Reuven has an arch enemy. Reuven, well, let's say Shimon. Shimon has someone developed that he's not on speaking terms with. You ever know people like that? They seem very nice, but
unfortunately, I know two sisters.
Reuven and Shimon, they live in peace. They live at peace with each other. But Shimon has someone out there in the veldt that he does not like, and he told that person, "You, Levi, I make a neder that you, Levi, may not derive benefit from me." Levi now wants to walk into the courtyard to go visit Reuven. But by walking in the courtyard...
One second, Reuven and Shimon are shitless.
They're partners, exactly. Reuven and Shimon are their best friends.
And Shimon makes a neder.
And Shimon, they own the courtyard b'shutfus. And Shimon makes a neder.
Levi
may not derive benefit from him. Yeah. And Levi wants to walk into the courtyard because he wants to go visit
Reuven.
Problem is, by walking in the courtyard, he's walking on property that's 50% owned by Shimon.
Correct.
And Shimon made a neder not allowing Levi to step foot on this property.
Right.
So what do you do now? What's going to be the halacha?
One second.
One of the two people. There's a person in the shuk. Levi. The person in the shuk. We're giving him the name Levi. This minashuk mudu be echad mehem was not allowed to draw benefit from one of them. We're saying over Shimon mehem hano lo yikanes lechatzer. We want to welcome to the Beis Medrash Mr. Aaron Rappaport.
Professor.
Greetings, Professor. Professor Dr. Aaron Rappaport. Greetings. We're over here daf memvov omud aleph. We're looking over here a case where we have two partners, Reuven and Shimon, they're best friends, and they're on good terms with one another, and they own land b'shutfis. Each one owns 50% of the property. And Shimon has an enemy. And Shimon said about his enemy, Levi, he's Echad Min Ashuk. He's a person that goes to the market, and his name was Levi. And the Shimon said, I make a net that you, Levi, may not derive benefit from my property, from my assets. And Levi now wants to come into the courtyard because he wants to go visit the Reuven. Problem is, when he steps from the courtyard, he's stepping from the property that belongs to the seven. He's stepping from the property that belongs to 50% to Shimon. 50% of the property belongs to Shimon. So when Levi steps foot on the property, he's walking on property that he's not allowed to walk on.
He's allowed to. Same machlaikas.
So what's halacha? You may not enter the courtyard. So Rabbi Eliezer, and you saw the coin at a kamba, that said there's nothing we can do for you. Because since you own 50% of the property, that includes every molecule of the property, it's 50% owned. There's no way to avoid Levi from being in violation of having hana from a person whom he may not derive benefit. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Eliezer, here you see Beferish in the Mishnah.
Yeah,
the
how
Yud,
come he
spells over
it
here,
out,
the printer, they had more time on, maybe because it was probably in the AM. He was probably awake. He was able to put in the letters, but in the previous Amud, he was probably very tired. But
didn't you tell me this was after 41 manuscripts that they researched?
This daf, what we have over here, is just a carbon copy of whatever in the Gemara. If it said Reish Aleph, they put in the new version of Reish Aleph. The other stuff on the side is the new stuff. When they did the Tzuras Adaf, they were loyal to the Tzuras Adaf. Rabbi Eliezer, Elizabeth.
But this is not the Rabbi Eliezer wasn't originally.
No, it wasn't Rashi Tevis. No, because if it wasn't, they would have fixed it in the previous Amud. They made the Gemara exactly the way the Gemara was in the Vilna Shas, and the only difference was they just put in letters to indicate the Hagos. Kevaita. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Oimer Yochel Lemelo Lesoch Shel Chaverch Ani Nichlas. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says no. Yochel Lemelo Lesoch Shel Chaverch Ani Nichlas Ve'ine Nichlas Lesoch Shelucha. It's 50-50. You own 50% of the property, and your friend owns. When I'm stepping from this courtyard,
it's permitted.
It's permitted. Why are we going to have to learn the lumnus? It's Breira. Breira. We'll see this in a moment.
Okay.
This is the most important daf in the whole Shas. My favorite daf in the whole Shas, the Fashtanin, the Sugya, the depth of the Sugya of Breira. Breira. Next. It's like a Shidduch. When you finally get married, it's Huvra Hadavu L'mafreya, that this was the one. Machlizin. Our boy Miyam Kadima Yitzira, Bas Plani Laplani, the one that you meet, Lemafreya, that was the one, Brera. Vaita. Hamudan Mechavera, next case. Hamudan Mechavera, I think it's case number four. If I'm not mistaken, case number four. Hamudan Mechavera, Vieshloy Mer Chatzabe Sabad, a person makes sense, it's Mudar. We have a person by the name of Levi. And Levi is not allowed to have Hanah from...
Let's use Reuven Shimon, it's easier.
Fine, so Reuven is Muda Hanah from Shimon. Shimon makes a neder that Reuven, you may not derive benefit from me.
Yeah.
And Shimon owns a bathhouse. Yeah, or he owns a Beis Habat in Olive Press. So Muskarim Be'ir. And the bathhouse... And the bathhouse and the base spot is rented out in the city. Someone has rented this property to produce for the tzibur, and Reuven wants
a base spot again.
An olive press.
Olive press.
Olive press. Yeah, yeah. And now you want Chanukah is coming.
Yeah.
Chanukah, and you want to buy oil. But if I'm going to buy oil from the supermarket. So who's the one that manufactured the oil?
Mm-hmm.
This Beis Habad. Mm-hmm. And this Beis Habad is legally the property of the person whom I'm not allowed to derive benefit. Mm-hmm. How is Reuven going to be able to kindle the Chanukah licht with oil that he buys?
Why could Shimon may not?
Because Shimon
made a net that Reuven cannot.
Because Shimon and Ned, that Reuven may not have any benefit from him.
Right.
And Shimon is the one who owns the olive press. And the olive press has been released to Eichlers. To produce olive oil and charge you 20 times what it really cost. So now how is Reuven going to be able to buy the olive oil? How is he able to go do it?
Why? Because Because he
because he made an eder.
Because he gains money.
He's getting
money.
Benefit. Because the olive press is the property of... The olive press, the property of Shimon.
Nee.
And Shimon made a neder that Reuven may not derive benefit from him.
Nee.
So if Reuven...
How far does such a loss of... benefit to go? A second party, third party?
Oh, so here's the first party. Here he's renting. Here, the owner of the Isle of Press, he's on vacation in the Caribbean. He's Nishda. But legally on paper, he owns the Isle of Press.
Right.
And the Isle of Press has been leased, has been rented to so-and-so. And so-and-so has brought in his oil. and is now working very, very hard to produce olive oil. Yeah. And then along is going to come Levi. And Levi is going to go to the store and he's going to buy the olive oil. Right. This
he's
olive oil.
He's buying it from the grocer. He's not buying it directly.
Okay, so in Echanami, Lucharu doesn't make a difference. Because the bottom line is this olive oil was manufactured in the olive press of... So
we can do this, theoretically, we can do this...
Lucharu, let's assume. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but let's assume that we do go all the way down. Let's assume we go even 20 layers deep. Let's assume there are many, many middlemen in between. The bottom line is, where was this olive oil manufactured?
Right.
It was manufactured in the olive press that is owned legally by Shimon.
Therefore, when
this person purchases this olive oil, he is in effect having pleasure from Shimon. Shimon is the one who owns the olive press. The oil was
and
produced.
Shimon rents it out to somebody?
He rents it out to someone. Yeah. The bottom line is the olive press is the property of Shimon. And the oil, after everything is said and done, was produced in that olive press. So therefore, you have to say that to some degree, the buyer, Levi, even though it's many, many layers down, the bottom line is, since the olive was produced in the olive press that is legally owned by Shimon, Reuven is deriving pleasure. Mm-hmm. Even though in the mill there was a lot of money paid from one person to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, and you say that money all the way goes all the way back, the bottom line is, where was this olive oil manufactured? Mm-hmm. In the physical property that was owned by Shimon. Uh-huh. So let's assume now, maybe I'm wrong. I have very great pleasure in saying to you, Dvorim Shamarti Tos and Biyad. But in the meantime, let's assume that I'm right. I'm Mela, he's having Hana. So therefore, if Shimon has Tefisas Yad, it's mine. It's mine. I'm renting it out to someone. I still own it. It's mine. I'm tax return. It's mine.
Then Osir.
Im ein loy bohen tfisas yad. We have to define what that means.
Yeah.
We have to see them farshim.
Because otherwise,
what
does renting mean?
I don't have any control. I've leased it out to the degree where I totally have no control anymore. Amol, you have some, in America, you have some very complicated types of situations where you are the owner, but you really have no control. Zero. The contract is such that you really lost total control. We have to see what it means of yamun tfisas yad mutter. Okay, next case.
The profits, no?
The prophets, you're still getting something out of it. What does it mean to be Yavno Tzvizas Yad? Let's see the Rashi right away.
He's not getting any profit or anything. What's a Shiloh?
Well, I own it. Who is the owner? What does it mean here, Tzvizas Yad? We have to see, look at the Ran. Let's see the Ran. The Ran, I don't want to do that. I want to go back to the other Rans, which are more fundamental. But what does the Ran over here says? The Ran over here says, let's take a quick look over here in the Ran. The Ran... Where is the Ran? I don't see a Ran.
There's no
this.
Run on this.
There's no Ran. So let me go look over here very quickly and see what it says over here in the Masifta. It doesn't necessarily mean profits. It means he has some merit. I don't know. It doesn't say what it means exactly. What a zuchuyos. Also, im ein lamad hamaske b'chem tfisas yad mutar hamud l'sham esh b'ver saver mishum shashtam shmuso ein nechshav kano min hamadir ois tes the kosav hara aran v'hara b'shem arashba. There is a ran somewhere over here b'shem arashba shadin zinemar davka b'oifen shamadir hiskir es amerchatz koydim shenoda avom hiskir achas shenoda chal israel amerchatz afilu mudo afilu v'osu mudo luchatz b'ay. He's not telling us over here what exactly is the definition of Tvisas Yad. He's not telling us exactly what this term means. I have no doubt, look up in the back of the Masifta, there'll be probably pages defining the longest, what exactly is the precise definition of Tvisas Yad. All it says over here in the Masifta is he has zuchuyos, he has rights, he has some degree, some connection. Okay, we have to hold off on that because I want to go do the other part. It's more important.
Okay.
Next, One more case before we go back to the lumnus. Next case. New case. Shimon says to Reuven, he says to him, I make a koinam, I'm not going to walk into your house. I prohibit upon myself having hana from you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is different than everything that we learned until then. Until then, we were learning a case where Shimon says, Reuven, you're not allowed to have hana from me. That's what we've been learning for the last couple of days. Where Shimon says to Reuven, Reuven, get lost. I make a neder that all of my assets are off limits to you. That's how we've been learning until now. Now we have a new case where instead of Shimon saying that my assets are usher to you, Shimon says your assets are usher to me.
Yeah.
Okay, you can do that. That's a chiddush. That's a tremendous chiddush because even though you don't own those assets, it's a chiddush. You assume that when it comes to a neder. Yes. So how the dinim of neder require that you own the object,
really?
That becomes forbidden. Thus, the chilik tzivishin and neder and a shavua. A shavua is a din on the gavra, and a neder is a din on the chevsa.
The chevsa is own shaykh if it's in his
domain. If you own it, av shlita, how can you go make a neder that I'm not going to have hana from your assets?
So what's the pshat?
Gzeris akasim, it works. It's gzeris akasim, even though this really is a shavua, this is not a neder, because the neder is a din on the chevsa. I don't own the chevsa. Okay, that's a big lot of lumnus. I don't know what the lumnus is. Ha'amel l'chaver, koinam l'veischa sh'ani nichnas, or v'sodecha sh'ani l'kech. I'm not going to go and purchase your sode. Mace.
One second.
Ha'amel l'chaver, Shimon. Shimon says to Reuven, Reuven, I make a koinam. I make a neder. Koinam is a neder. I make a neder. What's the neder?
L'veischa
sh'ani nichnas. I will never step foot in your house.
It doesn't mean he won't derive pleasure. He said, I won't step foot.
Fine. Correct. You are correct. Or v'sodecha, I make a neder your field. Shani loykech, I will never purchase your sodeh. Then what happens? Mace.
What do you mean?
Shani loykech, I will not. V'sodecha, shani means I will not.
Why not she'eni?
That's what it means. That's the language. That's the sprach. That's the sprach of a sech and adorim. I make a koinah.
How do you know that's how it's pronounced? Shani.
Because there's no yud. If it would be she'eni, there would be a yud in
the yavnun. I understand. So why? So what's the shot?
Because it says konam. Konam means it is prohibited. The word konam. Koinam.
I got it.
It's like
it
says the koinam.
I got it. Just like Shachana.
Mace. Who dies now? Reuven dies.
Yeah.
Reuven dies. O shemachor l'acher, or Reuven sells his sodeh.
Or his house
to Levi. So now, am I allowed to walk into that house? Am I allowed to purchase that house?
Mutter.
No longer is it the property of Reuven.
Yeah.
It's now the property of someone else. So l'acher mutter.
And when he says meis, meaning it goes to somebody else.
Right, the Yerusha.
What about it goes to his children? Same thing, it's permitted,
because he only said Reuven, the children will be mutter.
Next.
So next case. That's only because he said, leveischa. There is the chaf.
Yeah, yeah.
The chaf is your bias.
Yeah.
Your sodom.
Let's say he says
this bias. He doesn't use the chaf. He doesn't use what's that called in English?
Then it would always be us.
He doesn't use the what's the called? It's not possessive. It's the English term. Leveischa. The chaf. What?
Like right now.
What? This is an English term. What it means?
I don't know. I'm in the second grade class, but they do like called like.
What?
Called like yours.
Yeah, but there's an English, a fancy English word for this. Chvesnish. Oh, let's say v'sadcha shanim lekech meis oishemachu liacher motor. Let's say koinam bias.
The last. Let's
say bias zeshanim nechlas. Sadchu shanim lekech. Mace, oil, shemach, liacher, then it's going to be us. Because then it's a din on the bias.
Right.
Okay, so we know the Mishnah. We do, I think,
what's a chiddush? What's the Mishnah's trying to chiddush here? We would have self-understood.
Not necessarily. A lot of love. Now let's go back and learn. Let's learn a little bit of the Ran. Okay, Hashem, nice. The first Ran. Okay, a lot of little letters. Over here,
the first Ran?
The
okay.
This the whole Yisur, the entire Mishnah, and the whole parak. You sound like a tzioni. You'd say a shutafin. Shutafin.
Maybe I am a tzioni.
Chas v'shalom.
Okay,
Hashu Tafin. Okay, we said Vishal Vyashavishna, go back to the mission of Nachum Nachum. Two partners, they make a nether, one from another.
Yeah.
They're both not allowed to walk into the courtyard because when you walk into each one, walk into the courtyard, they work on someone else's property.
Yeah.
Right? And then Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says it's mutter. Yeah. Why is it mutter? What's the lumnis? So here, right with top of the round.
I think if you forgot the first round, the ksava.
Let's do the top round.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Vitor osur bimudar hana. Okay, that's the first you say.
What is vitor?
Vita means gratuitous. It means, for example, when you buy something and the seller gives you a little bit extra.
Gives you a little bit extra.
Okay. So therefore, if you own something, if you own together a courtyard, you don't go meshuga if your friend steps on your grass. There are certain things that it's acceptable in society not to be makbid on. So if you have a courtyard, the Gemara is trying to say this yisoid. You have a courtyard, and each one owns the courtyard b'shutfis. Are you makbid that every time your friend enters the courtyard, that you want to keep a cheshbon, you walk to the courtyard 50 times, I only walk in the courtyard 20 times, so therefore it's not fair, you're abusing the partnership. There are certain things,
yeah, right.
There are certain things that it's acceptable
they
in society,
such a thing, yeah.
Yimaychal.
Right.
So who says it's called a hana? We both own the courtyard b'shutfis.
Yeah.
Is it something that I can be makbid on?
Mm-hmm.
It's called a pleasure that when you walk on the courtyard, is that something we own it b'shutfis? So if own it b'shutfis automatically. So if you walk on the courtyard, I'm not makbid. You can walk on the courtyard. This time it says no. Vitor, when a person makes a neder, the koyach of a neder is so powerful. Every mashuhu is to be held accountable. If you make a neder and prohibit your friend from deriving benefit from you, he can't walk in the courtyard, even though the hana that he's getting is insignificant.
For the balabas.
Each one.
Right.
The kasover haitana vitur osur bemuda hana. Even the smallest amount of pleasure is osur. You can't go and say, listen, we're not makbid on this. We're not makbid. On sukkahs, you go build a pizza store, they put a sukkah in the street, and they leave enough space for people to walk by. Are you going to go tell me the people are so makbid? You took away our sidewalk from us. You're not so makbid. So they took away the sidewalk. It took us for a few days.
Yeah, that's the reason you have to have a permit.
Gezel, right? You know that. Yes. Okay, next.
What does a kimna mean? It's
makbid. The Gemara is going to. What exactly is the courtyard? Now, there are two different types of courtyard. There is a courtyard that's 8x4. If the courtyard is 8 tfachim by 4 tfachim, automatically that is a type of a courtyard which one can force the other person to split. This is sugya in Bava Basra. If you have a courtyard and it's owned jointly by two partners, can one partner force the other partner to split? I don't want to have this relationship with you anymore. I want to go my way, you go your way. Can you force your partner to split? So it depends. If after this splitting the courtyard, each one will be left with an area of 4 tvachim. By 4 tvachim, then you can force your partner to split. But if after the division, neither one will be left with a portion in the karka, that's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. Let's say you're starting out a courtyard that's 6 tvachim by 4 tvachim. If you're going to split, the result's going to be 3 tvachim by 4 tvachim.
Right.
It's too small. There's nothing you can do with such a small area. A teeny little area of 3 tvachim by 4 tvachim
has
is
to be
useless.
Big enough
that after you split, each one will have 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim.
How much is that?
Not much, very little. 4 tvachim is almost nothing. That's sufficient. You need to have a piece of land after you split that has to be significant.
They buy it through partnership.
If they bought it through partnership, and now they want to split, one wants to force. His fellow man
to
split. After you finish the split, you have to be left over with something significant.
How much is it? 4 tvachim by?
4 by 4 tvachim.
Okay.
So the Gemara is going to zet sign that the case over here, we have two partners. two partners, and they own it b'shutfis, and they eat. Now they get into a fight, and they make a, each one may not have enough from one another. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no problem. Each one can walk on the property. We're going to see the lovers in a few moments. But the first thing we have to appreciate that whatever Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to say is going to be a bidi evet. Bidi ovad. Bidi ovad. Chisure mechasra. Omar Abaye.
We're not in grammar school.
Omar Abaye. Chisure mechasra. Mesechta yoma. These are the correct words. Harem begrizu mitabas. Zo. Mr. Rapper, when you got married, did you say zoo or zo? Don't watch the video. I don't want to disappoint you. Okay, so over here, is it Bidiyevet or Bidiyovad? Rabbi Kefet, he's a tzion, he's a real tzion. He said, you know, when I was in America, I taught Torah in Yeshiva University. We learned about the Rambam and the Ravid, I come to Eretz Yisrael, I teach these girls, and the girls one day they say to me, Rabbi, I don't understand the Ra'avad. Can you please explain the Ra'avad? What? Who's the Ra'avad? Who is the Ra'avad? Oh, the Ravid. The Ravid. The Ra'avad? Is Rabbeinu Bachye?
The girls wanted to know the Ravid?
The Ra'avad, not the Ra'avad.
I didn't know to teach...
We're living in a different world today, Mr. Rabbi. It's not like really? our old-fashioned world.
You want to know the Ravid?
The Ravid.
Smart husbands. How are they going to get married being so smart to come back here?
Why?
They have husbands that don't know the Ravid, they don't know the Rambam, and they know it.
If they like each other...
Say, I can't marry this girl, she's at a higher level.
If he likes the girl, and the girl likes the boy, everything is good. Everything else doesn't make a difference. If they don't like each other, nothing will... All the similarities...
You heard what Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein said? His daughter was looking to marry... was going out with a young boy. You hear the Maisa? There's a Maisa? I just got his book. You have to buy it, Rabbi.
I have it already.
Who's this?
I read the whole introduction.
He has two questions.
Two questions.
One was, does a boy talk during davening? So the rabbi said to him, you know, that's the first time somebody ever asked me that question about a boy. Usually they ask you, does he come to Minyan? Does he come on time? He says, you're the first one to ask me that. Does he talk during davening? Doesn't say what the answer was. The second question, and this was an interesting question, evidently, this boy, his grandfather, davened in the same shul that he does. His grandfather was an elderly man, and, you know, he needed help to go home. So Wallerstein asked the rabbi, does this boy, the grandson, accompany his grandfather home, or does the father of the boy, meaning the son of the grandfather, accompany home? And he said, no, this boy takes care of his grandfather. So the alumnus of Rabbi Wallerstein was very smart. He said, one is Ben Adam Lamakum. Does he talk during davening or not? Meaning he doesn't care. He's talking to Hashem, and all of a sudden he's, you know, whatever. And the second one is about Adam La Adam.
Very nice.
Practical question that he asked.
Very
nice. Another question from Wallerstein. This is a great one. He says a girl came to him, and she went out with a boy, and they went to a restaurant, and they got they ordered some drinks or something, and the boy pulls out a credit card, and he looks, says, well, this is too hard. This is too high. He doesn't leave a tip, and he just, you know, pays the bill, takes it home. So she comes to Rabbi Wallerstein and says, should I go out with this boy? Because look what he did. So he said, no, you should not go out. Why? Number one, you created the Chil Hashem, because everyone, the waiters and all, expect a tip. And he says, number two, it shows how very cheap he is. Mm-hmm. And there'll come a day when I'm predicting, Rabbi Wallerstein says, we'll turn to you, and he'll say, you know, we got married, you're cleaning up the dishes, and then he'll say to her, that's your job. Do your job. There'll be no compassion, oh, thank you, dear, and you did a great job for me.
Well, maybe you'll leave her a big tip.
All right. You need grace of places to do these things.
Or no tip.
You need grace of places for these things. Let's go weiter. Weiter in the run. The first he said over here is that whatever Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is going to say, that each one is allowed to walk on the property, because we're going to say that wherever you walk, it's going to be yours. That's only b'di'avad. Therefore, how do you know it's only in Vidya? Because if you're dealing with a courtyard that has Kedei Chalukah, if it's 8x4, then we're not going to let Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is also not going to allow each person to step on the courtyard, because he's going to say the better thing to do is to divide. The better thing is to divide. So therefore, the reason why we cannot tell you to divide is we're starting off with a courtyard that's She'ein Bo Kedei Chalukah. There is not, it's not large enough to divide. Everyone agrees, even Rabbi Elazar ben, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to demand that there be a division, and Mimela, you don't have to come and step on someone else's property. He goes, according to the Gemara, what the Rana is saying is we're being very, very machmer. This that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is going to say in the mission that each one is allowed to walk on the courtyard, because you're going to say Brera, that whatever you walk on is going to be yours l'mafreya, that is only a bidyeved.
When you can't,
because if you have a, there's a better solution. Right. The better solution is let's split. Mm-hmm. It's a chiddush. Why? If you didn't see this Sharon, if I didn't see this, I wouldn't say that. I would say that Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov holds that each one is allowed to walk into the courtyard, because each one owns the courtyard 50%.
Right.
So at the time, when I'm stepping on the courtyard, I'm stepping on my 50%. That's what I would say, and it would not make a difference whether it's a yesh chaluka, anyway chaluka.
We're talking about he doesn't have a braider. It's insignificant if you would.
But let's say you have a braider, so then he's better solution.
Right.
But I, if not for this Gemara, I would not, I would not say that.
So Rabbi Elazar is saying if you don't have a choice,
that's when we let you go walk on each property. That's a tremendous chiddush.
That's also a tremendous chiddush.
Because I would say that once Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov allows you to walk on the courtyard, because we're going to say that the part that you're walking on, we're going
to
view the
So why do you have to? Why do you have to?
What difference does it make?
Exactly.
Even in a case where there isn't chaluka.
Exactly.
And the Gemara says no.
So what's Takif Shas?
Oh, because the Gemara holds that even if it's Yaakov, it's only a bidyevet. To say Breira, it's a Naya Din in Breira.
Breira.
Breira means that it's
Breira means you're selecting.
Breira in this context means that
Breira?
Retroactively, the portion that you're stepping on is yours. We own the courtyard in partnership.
Yeah.
But the Porsche that I'm stepping on, since I own 50%, we can say that is 100% mine, the portion of the land that I'm stepping on at this moment in time.
Why?
Because that's the concept of the Brera.
Right.
The concept of Brera is that since we own it equally, so sometimes...
So if I just went into his courtyard.
So we're going to say that, along the Shidu, let's see. Over Perek Shor Shenogach Esapara.
Explain what does Breira mean again?
Breira means retroactive clarification.
Breira
means right now, let's say right now.
Oh, we say by cooking, Yom Tov, that if you didn't make it after Shilin, that's Batoich, that's something else.
There are many examples of Breira. In this context, it means, let's not even look for other cases. In this context, the portion of the land that I'm stepping on is mine.
So what do you think, retroactively, a clarification, meaning?
That means it was always meant to be that this, we own the courtyard in partnership.
Right.
But that doesn't mean every molecule of the ground is 50-50.
Yeah.
If what we can do is, I'll take this section of the land and you'll take that section of the land.
Right.
So where my footprints are, where I'm standing at this moment in time, we can say that you have relinquished full rights in the molecules of where my footsteps are, and in exchange for you having the other area of the courtyard exclusively for you.
Right.
Look, we own the whole piece of land.
So we swap whatever you're gonna.
Right, we're gonna swap. When I'm standing over here. When I'm standing over here is totally mine, and I'm gonna relinquish, because this is totally mine. I'm giving up my rights in another portion of the land that can be totally yours.
Yeah.
And this will be continuously be readjusted.
Yeah.
Every time I make another footstep, it's ki'ilu, it's dynamic. It's a dynamic process. It's ki'ilu, this moment in time, I'm relinquishing other parts of the courtyard exclusively for you.
Yeah.
In exchange for you relinquishing everything that I'm stepping on. This is a dynamic process. It's not etched in stone. If you want to go say that it's static. Static will mean that every single molecule in this courtyard is owned 50-50 between me and you, and nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
If nothing ever changes, well, every time I step down on the ground, I'm stepping 50% on my property and 50% on your property, and there's nothing you can do. It's etched in stone from my Sibereshis. Every single mashu of the ground is 50% mine, 50% yours, and there's no relinquishing, there's no giving up, there's no transfer of ownership, not now, not never, then there's nothing you can do. You say Brera, Brera creates a dynamic a transaction that is continuously happening. When I step down on the ground over here, automatically, you, my friend, are giving up. You're relinquishing the where my footsteps are is totally mine, and you give it up in exchange for me giving up where you're standing. Where you're standing is totally yours. Where I'm sitting is totally mine. Now, when I take the next footsteps, oh, we're going to reallocate the land. It's Kilo. We're making now a new division among the, of the land. It's not nothing about the land is permanent. We own it 50-50, but which portion is mine, which portion is yours, is continuously being shifted and changing from me to you.
That's called the meaning of Shutfas.
That's of Brera in this context. Yes, in this context, that's the meaning of Brera. Okay, Brera means something different in every sugya. There's Brera in all of Ashas, there's Brera. But in this context over here, we have a courtyard. If you're going to hold Ein Brera, it means when we divided the courtyard 20 years ago, every single mashu of the karaka is owned 50% by me, 50% by you, and there is absolutely no possibility for me to give up a little piece of the land to you and for you to give a piece of the land to me. It's etched in stone. This piece of land where I step down over here, it's 50% owned by you. There's nothing I can do or you can do to change that reality. Therefore, if I step in the ground...
Yeah, but you don't know which 50.
Every mashu. What do you mean? Well, you do know which 50. Every single mashu. There's nothing you can possibly do. It's etched in stone. And there's no, you cannot possibly change. That's called Ein Brera. This Ein Brera, there's nothing you can do. I cannot step foot into the court. Because I'm stepping in the court, I'm stepping foot on your property. But if you hold Yesh Brera creates, is a principle that there is dynamic reallocation. Dynamic is like virtual memory in a computer. Yeah, you understand the concept of virtual memory in a computer? Yeah, you have RAM. RAM used to be very expensive. Okay, you have random access memory. It's super, super fast. Okay, if you want to go store something on a hard drive, it's slow. Even putting on a flash drive is also relatively slow compared to RAM. So you continuously reallocate. There's a continuous reallocation of RAM for your applications, and when you run out of space, then you go to the hard drive, or you go to the flash drive, whatever it is. Point is, it's dynamic. Every time you take a footstep on the ground, there is a dynamic reallocation of who owns what. I own this area, and in exchange for me exclusively owning this area, you can own your area. So both of us can run around in the courtyard. There's a courtyard.
Yeah.
Each one of us in a neder zemizeh. When I step in the courtyard, my footsteps is mine. You have given it up to me in exchange for me giving up to you where
so
you want to walk.
Please explain Rav Lezer Mayanko's standpoint.
Standpoint. He holds Brera. That's what the Gemara says.
So is he telling the Tanakam doesn't hold the Brera?
No. Then? That's what says the Gemara. The Gemara, Perek Shoshach Lapara, Aik Akim the Pulksai, Be Yesh Brera, or Ein Brera.
I got
it. The Savar, Yesh Brera, Vahai. You're entering upon your bin. But Rabbanan Tzavri Ein Brera. Utamahani Ute Mehani. I have a kasha. The Ran says, shocking thing. How could you say such a thing? Why? Nihi because Tzavri Rabbanan Ein Brera. Am I as soon as the Chotzer do Kevin since the Chotzer Shein Bodin Chaluga he the ain't a shoot of Yochel Lachov as Chaver Lach like below Lachy will love Shul the Connis Lachotzer he after Yochel Lo Ostrolov ho ain't Adam Oyster Dover Shein a Shaloi the Afilu Nidra Gamkain Hain Gamkain Hain Atzman Lomo Hain as soon as Haray Kishakol Echo Nichnas Lachotzer Mishaloi Hunene Vloy Mishal Chaveroi Kevin Shein Halo. Okay, so he's asking a very, very fine question. It's a very delicate point here. He's first coming to the whole Ran is a real part, every little prat of the Sugya Brera. It's an unbelievable Gemara, Ran of it, the whole Sugya Brera. He's asking, if we're dealing here in a case where the courtyard is too small to divide, it's less than 8x4, then when each one made a neder, you see, this is going back to the beginning of the neder. When they originally made the neder wasn't chal. The neder cannot be chal to begin with. If there is no way that I can force you to divide the courtyard, so we share the courtyard, and there's no way, until you make a neder, each one of us is permitted to walk on this property. Correct?
If there's not enough,
right, we're going in a case where there's not a kedei chaluk.
Right,
it's less than eight by.
And they
by
make
four.
A neder to each other.
So until they make the neder, are you allowed to walk on the property?
Yeah.
Yes. Am I allowed to walk on the property? Yes. Yeah. By me making the neder, you're telling me that you're not allowed to walk on my property.
Correct.
I can't do that. Ein adam oyser davar she'ena shaloi.
It is. Part of it, the shutters.
But you have a right. But you have a right to walk on the property. It was always shared by us. We share it. Part of the arrangement of sharing property automatically allows you to walk on the property.
So therefore, you cannot
when
make a neder.
When I make a neder, you may not draw benefits.
That's only when it's solely yours.
Right.
But here, it's not solely yours.
I have no right to take away from you something which you're entitled to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A courtyard, which does not have a din chaluka, automatically gives you the right to walk on my property.
Why the chacham,
I have no power to take it away.
So he's trying to understand the
Tanakhama. The neder should never have been chal.
So why?
You
so
cannot make
shot?
A neder. So the nearly. So the Ran comes explain to
he's explaining the reason the Rabban.
The highest amount of the Rabban, we should be able to say, the EF show, Loimar, the Cholchad, Koni, Luku, Luchotzer, Kinin Aguf, Lo Oilam, the Mar, Lav, the Mar, the EF show, Loimar, Gamdi, the Bashosh, Shemishamish, but he's going to be afraid, the Bashos, Kinin, Kanilo, Lola, who's Shaita, Kinin Aguf, the Imbrero, Ella, Cholchad, Mehanoch, Shutofim, the kinyan shibud b'chelkos shalchaveroi. Oh, and the kinyan shibud b'chelkos shalchaveroi. Shein halo yochel akim lov min adin avakav de loy chane legufo. Hilch osav rabban de ois the kinyan shibud sheyesh loy al chelkos shalchaveroi. Koynamos mavkino isayim shemach yos. Okay, he says a whole long this year, which we have to stand up because of Amin Ma'ariv. Thank you for calling this report. Shloimi, I'll see you on Shabbos. Shloimi, want to come Shabbos? Shloimi is not coming. You want to come?